This is the Nordic News.
Greetings, comrades. These are the news of the Nordic nation. This is a news broadcast produced by members of the Nordic Resistance Movement. The following is a gathering of different news items translated from our websites during the week gone by. And we are talking week 30 of the current year 2017. And we'll start off with a soft and cuddly one, where the Jewish subversion and the urbanization of our lands continue. Jewish media says, scrap the countryside for the growing city. On the 25th of July, Jewish Daily News published an opinion piece from the Stockholm Chamber of Commerce regarding how the gap between the cities and the countryside shall be evened out. In an editorial response from said paper, it is stated that the gap should not be evened out. Instead, the rural people should move to the big cities and let the countryside die out. One of the reasons stated is the opportunities that the big city offers. Quote, not only because of the job possibilities, but also due to the range of culture and services with restaurants, cafes, shops, nightclubs, concerts and exhibitions. Close quote. That the rural schools and maternity centers are closed down is not a problem, according to the Daily News, when long trips to the city are compensated by the quality that's found there. According to the Jewish media, the bigger companies in the cities are like pulley hooks for the rural people, and even the ones who does not move will be counted among the so-called winners due to globalization. Quote, there is no value in trying to rewind the trend of urbanization through politics trying to get more people to move to the countryside. Big and strong city regions are good for the whole country. Close quote. When the countryside is depleted on behalf of the big city regions with their cafes and nightclubs, the municipalities and regional administrators shall be left to their fate. Quote, every place in Sweden has historically blossomed with life, will not be doing so tomorrow. But the solution is not to turn back time or perform CPR. Instead, all municipalities and regional administrations have a strategy for how they alone shall survive. A 14-year-old daughter raped when mother invited invader youth into their home. In November 2016, a migrant youth, together with his brother and three men in their early 20s, visited a family in the county of Västmanland. They stayed in the house and the family for two nights. During their visit, a party was held and the migrants took the opportunity to give the 14-year-old daughter in the family large amounts of alcohol until she passed out. Shortly thereafter, she was raped by a 25-year-old, reportedly claiming to come from Syria. At the time, the mother of the girl was sleeping, but was awoken by the victim's sister. At first, the mother didn't believe the sister, but was shown a Facebook post written by one of the youths about the crime. According to the verdict, the mother stood outside the door of the daughter's room and heard smacking sounds, and instead of entering and intervening, she wrote to the beard baby that it was probably just them making out. The district court in Västmanland sentences the 25-year-old racial strangers to 2 years and 10 months in prison. He shall also pay 115,000 Swedish kronor in fines to the girl. The prosecutor, Frida Gummesson, has not tried to get the rapist deported, even though he has only a temporary asylum in Sweden. A quote from the prosecutor. You simply can't deport people to certain places that they would be deported from here. Then they are not deported. Well, that makes sense in, upside down crazy world. Local social democratic rags spread fake news about the Nordic Resistance Movement. In the beginning of July, activists from the Nordic Resistance Movement took a pride flag down at the train station in the town of Boden and replaced it with our own, the Tyrun banner. This action apparently hurt the feelings of local politicians as well as supporters of the Homo lobby. A week later, several banners from the Nordic Resistance Movement were put up all across the Boden area. Now, the network Buden Against Racism will hold a protest in the city due to the actions over the last few weeks. Ahead of the protest, the local social democratic rag, NSD, have written an article that contains several false claims and outright lies, both by the journalist and a person interviewed, without any trace of critical questions. Among other things, the organizer of the protest, Martina, says that a burning of a pride flag is the worst thing that has ever happened here. Something that many residents in Buden probably won't agree with. This is mainly because Buden have had a migrant problem for a long time, now resulting in several attacks on women, including rape. Recently, a racial stranger was sentenced to just 3 months in jail for unprovoked having kicked a 9-year-old girl in the face in the town center. One of the biggest lies in the article regards a fatal assault in Finland to exemplify that the Nordic resistance movement is a dangerous organization that kills those who don't sympathize with the message of the Nazis. Quote, she mentions a fatal assault of 28-year-old man who did not sympathize with the message of the Nazis. The assault occurred in conjunction with a demonstration that the Finnish chapter of the Nordic Resistance Movement organized in Helsingfors last year. The man was beaten to the ground and later died from his injuries. Close quote. The tabloid refers to an incident last year in Helsingfors where the Finnish activist Jesse Tuurainen put in his place a left-wing drug addict Jimmy Karttunen who spat at the activists. Karttunen passed away a week later due to mixing of alcohol and heavy drugs. The district court freed Tuurainen from involuntary manslaughter and the Finnish media have ceased to mention fatal assault since it's simply fake news. And continuing, we have a large collection of news items pertaining to the disgusting phenomenon of the Summer of Rape 2.0. Underage girl raped during the Emma Buda Festival. Last Monday, the annual Emma Buda Festival began, which lasted until Sunday. Already during the first morning, one underage girl has been reported to the police as being raped. Today we've talked with her and collected information to see if we will continue with the case. I don't know what's happened in the case during the afternoon, says Eva Gunn Westford, press manager in the police region south, to Aftonbladet. According to Westfold, the police is taking the situation very seriously and they are now trying to get to the bottom of the case. She doesn't want to reveal what the information is, though. Emma Buda Festival is infamous for its unusual high amount of crime. Except for a large amount of sexual crimes, there were no less than 164 cases of narcotic-related crimes reported last year. The police described it as the hash smell laid thick like a fog over the whole festival, and that one of the suspected criminals had tried to steal the policeman's service weapon. Another one stole a large amount of cell phones to later show his penis publicly in a nearby store before he finally was arrested, carrying both a knife and drugs. More cases of sexual harassment during this year's Woodstock Festival. Yesterday, Nordfront reported that three young women had been sexually harassed during Friday night on the cultural Marxist Woodstock Festival in Skellefteå. Three more women were harassed the next day. In the first case, a young woman in her late teens was harassed at 2 a.m. in the middle of the audience by, for her, an unknown man who hasn't been identified yet. The police has for once left a clear signalement of the perpetrator. The man is to have had a black jacket, been 175 to 180 centimeters tall, and around 20 to 25 years old. The man was racially estranged and had a beard as well as a mustache. He has to have touched body parts that was not wished by her. The way he touched her was obviously damaging and made the girl feel discomfort, and he violated her sexual integrity, says Mats Brun, preliminary investigation leader for the police. Around the same time, two more women in their 20s were harassed in another part of the audience. The perpetrator is supposed to be identified, but not in custody. It is also a man in this case who touched these women in a discomforting way. He did actions with clearly sexual allusions and violated their sexual integrities, says Brun. Brun thinks that the preventative actions made by the cultural Marxist arrangers had some results, even though the 6 cases of sexual harassment that has happened during the festival. But he doesn't mention that they didn't ship in racial strangers in this year's festival. Last year's festival culminated in 14 reports of sexual harassment. Only 2 of the cases resulted in the perpetrators being punished. In one of the cases, it was an Afghani man, and in the other one, it was a gypsy beggar from Romania. A 20-year-old man arrested for rape during Henderson's city party. A 25-year-old man was arrested for one of 3 rapes that happened during the Henderson's city party last weekend, where 19 cases of sexual harassment was also reported. The rapes are considered penetrations, according to the police. I think it's a group of people. A few of them have walked around, not 20 different perpetrators. But that's just my theory, says Anders Olsson, on deputy preliminary investigation leader for the police. 2 others of the same age have been arrested but later been released, suspected for sexual harassment. The police is currently hoping that they can solve more of the encroachments. Three rapes and 19 sexual harassments was the result at Hanusan's city party. The arrangers of Hanusan's city party decided to take measures against groping and to create security after the first evening's multiple cases of sexual harassment. But these safety measures didn't make any difference. The results for Hanusan's city party was 3 rapes and 19 cases of sexual harassment during the 2-day-long festival. We've received 19 reports of sexual harassment and 3 for rapes, says Stefan Sundberg, preliminary investigation leader at the police at Västernorrland. But Sundberg doesn't want to speculate on how this came to be, and instead chooses to end the conversation and conclude that they are putting a light on the problem. A man who is suspected for rape has been arrested and is currently in custody. The police has also been able to identify multiple of the offenders, are trying to find and arrest them. We have 2 or 3 identified offenders for these crimes. I don't think it's a larger group of around 20 offenders, but a smaller group, and I think we'll have to puzzle this together, says Anders Olsson, investigator at the police. The summer of rape continues. At least 2 rapes during Thursday night. It was late Thursday night on the 20th of July as a 25-year-old woman was biking through Skolparken in Enköping when a man suddenly attacked and pulled her off her bike. The perpetrator then dragged the woman into a thicket where he then raped her. A man pulls her off the bike and drags her into a thicket. There he violates her. She manages to get herself home and alarm, says Kristin Nordström, press manager for the police. The very shocked woman was taken to a hospital, and the police cordoned off the part of the park during the night. Later, a 25-year-old man could be arrested, suspected for the rape. We were informed of this about 45 minutes later. A 25-year-old man with similar signalement has been seen in the area and arrested, says Nordström. The victim and the perpetrator are supposed to know each other in some way. Rape in Tranås. During Thursday morning, the police got another alarm about a woman who had been raped. This time, it was a 40-year-old woman who was raped on Hubbardsvägen in Tranås during the night. It was the healthcare which involved the police after a witness had phoned in and reported the rape. The police has investigated the crime scene and have held a preliminary interrogation with the woman, but has no signalement for the perpetrator at this time. 9-year-old girl nearly raped. 7:30 during Wednesday morning, a 9-year-old woman was nearly raped on the Oscar Square in Örebro. The event happened when the girl was heading to school. The perpetrator held the girl to the ground, but the rape was interrupted when a bypassing woman heard the girl's screams and ran there. The perpetrator then fled the scene. The woman took care of the very scared girl and called the police as well as an ambulance. The girl was taken to a hospital, but was later taken home. We obviously know it's a girl who has been the target of a crime. Exactly what happened is still unknown. She has been taken to the university hospital in Örebro and is taken care of there, says Anders Sjöberg, communicator for the police in Örebro. She hasn't been seriously injured, but is naturally very shocked. What I know now is that she has been allowed to leave the university hospital, says Sjöberg. The police has been in contact with the people who were in the nearby area and had heard something about what happened. No suspected perpetrator has been arrested, and the police state that they only have a weak signalement for the man. The headmaster of the girls' school has encouraged all parents to not allow their children to go to and from the school alone. And this is why we can't have nice things. The high trust is decreasing as we continue. Municipality ignored invading pedophile. The man molested girls already in the asylum center Hotel Vetten in Karlsborg, but then the municipality decided to let him loose in society, even with the man's perverse affliction for children. He was given help to get his own flat, where he later tricked little children to commit his abuse. He supposedly showed a special affliction for younger girls, and multiple children in the area felt very discomforted by the man's attempts to seek contact. One of the victims was a 13-year-old girl who had followed a younger boy up to the man's home, as the boy's mother was familiar with the Syrian and the boy was just going there to leave a bag while heading home from school. But as soon as they were there, the racial stranger was insistent on them staying to play instead. They didn't dare to disobey him, and tickle games soon became sexual molestation of the girl, as the man, among other things, laid over the girl and made copulation movements. The children managed to get out of the flat, and the girl later told a teacher at her school about the event and her fear of getting raped, who in turn contacted the girl's mother. But the school didn't want to get involved into any trouble, so the mother contacted the police. It was later revealed that the Syrian had taken up a habit of going after younger girls in the area. Multiple children had explained how they've seen him sneaking around, trying to make them come with him, something that made them feel discomforted and scared. The Syrian tried to whitewash his sick behavior by explaining how he likes to talk to children. The man is now charged with sexual harassment, and deprivation of freedom. I hope we didn't get you too down in the dumps with all these rapings. Now follows a long article regarding the situation with the Swedish government at the moment. It is crumbling like a delicious cookie. Alliance parties are adamant. Hultqvist must resign. The Sweden's center-right alliance are demanding that Peter Hultqvist, the Minister of Defense, be released from his role. Sweden's center-right alliance are demanding that Peter Hultqvist be released from his role as the Minister of Defense. Stefan Löfven's press conference last Thursday made international headlines, with the Prime Minister announcing a government reshuffle as well as the resignation of two of the three ministers embroiled in the IT scandal, Anders Ygeman and Anna Johansson. Ygeman will now become the Social Democrats' parliamentary leader. The reshuffle came as a shock for many experts who believed that Löfven would instead announce his own resignation. Anna Johansson has acknowledged that she is to blame for not obtaining essential information. She has asked to be relieved, says Löfven during the press conference. He had this to say about Anders Ygeman. Anders Ygeman has come to the conclusion that it would be in the best interest of the government if he resigned. However, Löfven revealed that the Minister of Defense, Peter Hultqvist, will remain in his capacity in spite of his role in the serious IT leak from the transport agency, and despite the fact that he, just like Ygeman, had known about the security leak for a considerable time and had not reported it to the Prime Minister. Many people are therefore questioning why Hultqvist is allowed to stay, whereas Ygeman was made to resign. Hultqvist is Minister of Defense in my government. He is not responsible for the department where the mistakes have been made, Löfven said, while suggesting that the opposition's threat of a non-confidence vote against the Minister of Defense were utterly irresponsible. Sources claim that the alliance parties were in an emergency meeting during the press conference. After the government reshuffle was announced, the alliance parties agreed to go ahead with the no-confidence vote against Peter Hultqvist. We welcome the news of Ygeman and Johansson's resignations, but we believe that there is still a case of no-confidence vote against Hultqvist, said the leader of the Christian Democrats, Ebba Busch Thor. The leader of the moderate party, Anna Kinberg Batra, has confirmed that the argument for the no-confidence vote against Hultqvist remains. However, the alliance have retracted the demand that parliament be summoned for special session and will instead await the first parliamentary session after the summer recess, which is due to take place sometime in September. The alliance party's joint statement of the government reshuffle. Also on Thursday, the Alliance Party sent out a joint press release in which they wrote, Peter Hultqvist is the government minister responsible for national defense. Although he, like Anders Ygeman, was informed about the security shortfalls in the transport agency during the early 2016, and although he knew about the serious nature of these shortfalls, Peter Hultqvist did not inform the relevant minister, the Prime Minister or Parliament. These basic facts have not changed. Each of the opposition party leaders have commented on Thursday's announcement. When asked how she views the announcement of the new ministers, Ebba Busch Thor replied, "We now have a minister of infrastructure who did not mention his responsibility for in resolving the situation with the transport agency in a single word. That is not very reassuring." Jan Björklund of the Liberals pointed out that his aim is not to cause the government crisis or to make the prime minister resign. He said, "It is up to him to decide. It is not what we're asking for. Our demand was the resignation of the three ministers that are guilty of misconduct, of which two have now resigned." Anna Kinberg Batra welcomed the resignation of two of the responsible ministers, but noted that the basis of the no-confidence vote against Peter Hultqvist is exactly the same today as it was yesterday. She went on to say, "What we're dealing with here is one of Sweden's worst security crises in decades, which has jeopardized the security of our nation, as well as the security of specific families and individuals. We view this very seriously and have therefore demanded accountability." The leader of the Center Party, Annie Lööf, gave a brief comment on the matter. "I welcome the fact that Stefan Löfven has backed down, let go of prestige and listened to the alliance criticism," she says. The outcome of Löfven's government reshuffle in brief. The Minister of Defense, Peter Hultqvist, will remain in his capacity and will be subject to no-confidence vote by the alliance parties. Anders Ygeman becomes parliamentary leader for the Social Democrats, a position that, in his own words, means that he will still be a major player in the political debate. Tomas Eneroth becomes Minister of Infrastructure. He was previously the Social Democrats' parliamentary leader. Helene Fritzon becomes Minister of Migration. Morgan Johansson, previously Minister of Justice, becomes Minister for Justice and Home Affairs. Gabriel Wikström, Minister for Public Health, Healthcare and Sports, resigns due to health reasons, with his duties taken over by Annika Strandhäll, Minister for Social Security. So there you have it, quite the mess indeed. More on this on the upcoming episode of The Nordic Frontier. And that is all we had for you this week. Our thanks go out to the diligent translators who made this project possible, and also to the listeners who showed their support by pitching in financially. We would also like to thank the artist Donheim for lending some of his great-sounding Nordic tunes. If you are interested in donating to aid in our struggle, you can do so by following the links posted in the show notes. Stay strong, comrades, and stay brave, and join us next week for another briefing on the events in the Nordic nation. Hail victory!